Hey, happy holidays from the Grilling Guys.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe she'd been drinking too much eggnog, and we begged her not to go. But she forgot her medication, and she staggered out the door into the snow. When we found her Christmas morning,
it's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And Jethro, which is country, we all twisted up. But we are here, and it's the weekend, and we appreciate you tuning in. Barbecue Bob, a little under the weather. He insists that he does not have the COVID, but he just has a touch of the flu, and he didn't want to come in Conrad's little room here and get us all jiggy, so he decided to step aside. And joining me in the studio, a more brave man, that would be Brad Ensing from all over West Michigan, but Brad's a representative of Garrett's Appliance as well. So, Brad, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's fun to be in a little different studio for me today. So, always fun to meet new people.
Yeah, and to do new things. And speaking of which, Conrad, turn your mic on a minute.
Yeah, bro.
Because Conrad's a guy who doesn't step by a meal very often. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm feeling kind of bad now.
Well, you know what? Don't, because it's all good. He's got to get indoctrinated to the Grilling Guys and how we roll. We're still in our honeymoon phase, aren't we?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, we still like each other. So,
right, right. And Brad is, and we'll get into this later in the show, but Brad is the consummate wild game recipe guy. Oh. And he comes rolling in here with a couple little to-go boxes of stuff that he whipped up earlier. So, Brad, why don't you just tell us what it is, and then I'll finish the story.
Okay. Well, today we are having delicious, God-given squirrel meat.
Yeah, it was squirrel meat.
And you know what? Everybody always turns their nose up, but I don't even want to begin to tell you how much work it was not only to dispatch the squirrels, skin the squirrels, crockpot the squirrels for 5 hours, pull all the meat off the squirrels, and then prepare for you this delicious food.
Mm.
You know, if people want it easy, I could have just gone to the store, bought a pork butt, throw it on the smoker, and like the Ron Papil of smokers, and been like, forget it, set it and forget it.
Right.
Come back like 10 hours later and be like, here you go.
Right.
But I love you and Conrad enough to bring you fresh squirrel meat.
Well, and we appreciate it. But and like I said, we'll get into the recipe in a minute. But Conrad, being Conrad, we opened the box and he sprung out of his chair, walked over here, grabbed one of these
Dutch
things,
free food,
and it was all of a 3-foot walk back to his chair, and he had the thing half eaten before he sat down.
And I finished it. So,
but he asked after the second bite, not the first bite, but after the second bite, he asked, "What is this anyway? It's pretty damn good." And to which Brad responded, "It's squirrel." And if we were on TV, it'd have been $1 million moment.
The look on that face was priceless.
Well, you know, I got a cousin in the UP, and my old roommate from college. We spent a lot of time in the UP, and it's not that strange of a thing in Michigan. But for some people, and Brad, you were talking about your coworkers, they turn their nose up at an incredible, incredible feast, and it's great. It's really good.
Yeah, it is, and it's all in fun. But we would never feed you anything, Conrad, that we wouldn't eat ourselves, right? So
I don't know about that.
But no, it's all good. And I grew up eating squirrel. I haven't in a long while, but honestly, there's no gamey taste to this. Well, why don't we get into the recipe right now? What the heck? Why not?
So I'm going to give credit where credit is due. This is a meat eater, recipe that I pulled off online after watching the show. Basically, like I said earlier, you know, you clean your squirrels. They go in the crock pot basically to soften up that flesh. Normally takes about 5-6 hours in the crock pot. And then after that, basically, it's a recipe that calls for a croissant roll, cream cheese. I put jalapeno, basically a slice of jalapeno, a slice of a red pepper, like a red bell pepper, fresh onion, fresh thyme. And then I do a little mixture of a garlic salt, sage, and a little bit of an onion powder, throw a little bit of Colby Jack cheese in there, roll it up about 20, 25 minutes at 350 in the oven. And they're just, it's a great little appetizer.
And I'm going to tell you that crescent roll does not get overdone in that amount of time because there's a lot of stuff in the middle.
And you know what? It's one of those fun things where, you know, you might not be able to get out gun hunting for deer, but I tell you what, man, squirrels are pretty much everywhere.
Right.
And it's one of those things that, you know, we were just teasing before, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, this was staple type of foods for our parents, our grandparents. And now with the convenience of grocery stores, a lot of people just don't think about this type of food anymore.
Right.
But it's still such a wonderful treat. It takes a lot of work and a lot of love.
Yeah. And I got a city girl wife, and she likes to feed the squirrels. And then we bought this, as my hunting buddies call it, your poodle doodle chop. Yep. It's a labradoodle. It's not a hunting dog. There's no hunting dog. Half lab, but that half never hunted, right? So, but she loves to tree the squirrels and then stand there and bark at them. So that's that poodle intelligence.
I just heard of a squirrel dog, because there are actually squirrel dogs out there selling for $20,000 for like this bred squirrel dog.
Does he climb the tree and catch him?
He does not climb the tree, but they will gingerly bring them back to you in their mouth with a little bit of slobber on them.
Right, yeah. Well, she might do that, because I taught her to bring me a beer, and I can wipe the slobber off if she hands me a cold beer, right?
Well, Bob's out of a job then. So,
right. That's probably why he isn't here. Yeah, that's exactly why he's not here. But anyway, so it's all good, and they're really good. Brad, they're really good. And
I'm waiting for you to have a second and third. Otherwise, you're going to make me feel bad.
It's your turn to talk. Two. I'm eating now, huh?
All right. So, you know, you're dribbling it all over the place.
That's an onion. It's wonderful.
So we were talking a little bit about, you know, hunting stuff we've been doing this year. And my very gracious and beautiful wife, Erin, who is the most wonderful person in the world.
What'd you buy?
So I just picked up a new shotgun this year. Bruce Meekoff, another wonderful employee that I work with over at Garrett Supply.
Bruce is a great guy at Garrett.
Yep. And, you know, he really has been talking about duck hunting a lot. Last year, he took me out a time or two to a undisclosed location in Ionia. And so I really got sick of borrowing his shotgun this year. So I went out, bought a beautiful gun. My wife was only mad at me for about 20, 30 minutes or so. But so we've got.
I heard she had about 1,400 reasons to be mad, though.
You know what? I have no idea what you're talking about, and she's never going to listen to this. So it is a beautiful shotgun. It's part of the Benelli family, and I always think it's, you know, it's an heirloom, just like her wedding dress or that wedding ring. That it's something we'll keep forever.
Right. And I'm betting you're going to get a lot more use out of the shotgun than you do that wedding dress.
I sure as heck would like to think so.
Right, because, you know, I'm sure, you know, right after you said I do, you said, well, you, well, never mind.
Well, we're still saving that wedding dress, though, because one of our daughters will wear it.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Right, Daddy. I want to wear mommy's dress. Not so much.
But yeah. And I don't know how long our segments here go, but we are talking.
Long enough. He'll tell you.
Okay. It looks like we got a couple minutes to play here. So
I'm eating. Just keep going.
You know, so we're talking a little bit about duck hunting, and since eating duck has never been, quote unquote, my favorite thing in the world, because it's a very dark, rich meat. And it seems like I either undercook it or overcook it, which makes it bad and bad. So I started sous vide-ing my duck this year. And if you don't know what sous vide is out there, it's basically a hot water bath that you set at a specific temperature, and your meat's in a bag, and it just cooks and cooks and cooks until it's done. I'm normally sous vide-ing my ducks to about 130 to 135 degrees. They're in a vacuum sealed bag. I put them in there with some compound ramp butter that I make with wild ramps from around my house, some fresh onions, and again, some rosemary, thyme, and sage. And basically bring them out, sear them off. It's absolutely delicious when you do it that way.
So are you eating them just by themselves after they, when you say you sear them off, is that cast iron? You doing it on a grill? Yep. Where are you doing it?
I'm doing cast iron pan, butter on the inside. I have been making a little homemade apple chutney to go on top, which just the fruit flavors just add a different dimension to it as well.
Right.
My wife thoroughly enjoyed it. My daughters loved it as well. My wife enjoyed it until she hit a piece of steel shot.
Well, then that happens, right?
It happens.
That's why you have dentists.
Right? Exactly. Very good dentists.
Right, yeah. But, you know, that's going to happen because they don't fly into your pouch.
No.
Right?
Nope. It's a labor of love.
Yeah, it sure is. All right. Well, coming up next, I think you can tell that Brad's got a lot of stories as well as he's an awesome, awesome cook. So you listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us, and we're going to come back to you with more recipes right after this. This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. If you're just tuning in, Barbecue Bob is a little under the weather. He claims he doesn't have the vid, and he's just got the flu, so we didn't want him in this little cozy studio. So joining me in the co-pilot's chair is Brad Ensing. And Brad, we were talking a little bit about duck hunting. It is the season. Duck seasons are still open. So the last duck that I cooked, I have one of those Tech infrared grills, right? And they'll get to like 1,200 degrees. And it's a wonderful piece of equipment because if you don't know what they are, and by the way, I'm preaching to the choir. Brad is an expert on appliances, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But that piece of glass that's between the burner and the grates is what creates the infrared heat, as well as it'll stop all drippings from hitting any flame, as well as that piece of glass gets so hot that everything just kind of vaporizes, right? So the last duck that I cooked, somebody brought me a breast. There's a little bit of fat cap on it, right? And you score that just a little bit because you want it to render and crisp up a little bit. But what I did is I took a raspberry balsamic and just brushed that on there, put it in a little cup, and I had a brush, and I brushed it on all sides of there, and I turned that grill up as high as I could, and I maybe did a minute and a half on the non-fat side and then turned it over maybe a couple minutes on the fat side to crisp that up. And then I butterflied that thing and just cut little fillets off it that were maybe like the size of a Ritz cracker. And man.
It's amazing. When duck is done the right way. And I don't want, you know, listeners to get their things screwed up here a little bit. We're not talking about farm-raised duck that you're getting out of the, you know, when you go to a restaurant. And that's one of the crazier things I've learned here over the last couple of years, too. When you go into a restaurant and they're serving venison, it ain't coming out of Michigan. That's normally a red deer, and they're getting it from overseas. You know, so
Venison is any four-legged animal with horns, pretty much.
But the way that the laws are set up, you can't basically sell wild game. It's against the law,
right?
And even like bartering, you have to be careful. Like if you've got a buddy that's like, "Hey, I got 20 pounds of smoked salmon. You want to trade me some deer meat for it?" Government watches out. Now I sound like Bob. I'm like a conspiracy. Don't post it on the Facebook.
I didn't think we were going to have that this week. Dang it!
They're watching us. Put the tinfoil hats on. But, you know, it's one of those things where duck prepared properly is just absolutely amazing. It's so rich and delicate. And that fat cap on there, when you score it and sear it with some fresh herbs, is just, it's something you can't find at a restaurant.
And the good part about that is it's not a ton of it. I mean, you get a few bites and you're done with it. And so it doesn't have to be overpowering in a meal, but it's just a wonderful, wonderful piece of protein that you don't get very often. Now you've been doing some duck hunting. Let's talk a little bit about that with the different species of ducks, because I've been following you on Facebook a little bit, and I noticed that you even did a wing comparison that one time. But we're not eating the wings. So, but let's talk about that.
No, so basically, and I am not a duck expert by any means. This is kind of a newer thing to me, but you basically have puddle ducks and diver ducks. Puddle ducks are going to be the ones that are the good-eaten ducks, if you will. Now, if you go to a lot of the websites and the Facebook sites out there, that there are a lot of people that'll grind up diver ducks. And when I say a diver duck, duck that dives under the water, will eat fish, crustaceans, things like that. The meat's definitely a different flavor. A lot of people say it's no good. A lot of people grind it up, make chili out of it, make stuff like that. It's not something that I've done yet. Everything that I've been doing is puddle ducks, which are green-winged teals, mallards, wood ducks, things along those lines. Just a delicious duck when prepared properly. The one thing I've been a little disappointed in, as I'm trying to, I try to utilize about everything I can out of the duck. I think next go round when we go out, I'm going to save duck carcasses and make myself some duck stock, which I'm really looking forward to do. But it's one of those things where, you know, people always tease these restaurants farm to table. I'm going a little farther, you know, nature to table. I just want to do it myself.
Right.
And I want to have pride in what I do. And, you know, I think it's become so easy, like we talk about with the grocery stores and God bless them and a good butcher. But, man, I love going out and being able to hunt something, kill it, clean it, and cook it for family and friends. And
right.
To me, nothing says love more than taking the time to do that.
Right. Well, and it is a lot of time. You know, you've got to have a desire in a love for nature, because you don't bag something every time you go out. We were talking a little bit about deer season and the challenges
freaking
you were having out
season
by your house.
Yeah,
yeah. And I did not hunt this year. I played chef at two different deer camps and had a huge successful year doing that. And we've talked about most of that already on previous shows. But with regard to hunting, my bride really doesn't care for game because she can't get past the what's between her ears.
Process.
It's the thought process rather than she'll try it. But you know, there's always she does a Conrad, man. She wrinkles up her nose after she has the first bite.
And you know, there's a lot of people out there. Now, my wife is a different. She always says she needs her 3 degrees of separation. So if she doesn't see me kill it, she doesn't see me gut it and clean it, she's good to go with
okay.
it. Okay. So squirrels, I normally am cleaning on my front porch. So
right.
she's like watching me through the ring, probably trying not to vomit.
Well, and one of the problems with a squirrel is it does look a little bit like a doll in the pot. You know what I mean? I mean, if you've ever seen one, it can be like, huh, for a minute, especially for a girl that's played with dolls for all her young life.
You know, it's a labor of love. What can I say?
Right.
But, you know, deer, that's pretty much, we don't do a ton of beef at our house. We eat mostly venison. And this
year, I'm looking at them
like, maybe I buy a quarter of beef. I don't know. But, you know, we've had a couple, and I hunt on my property. I'm on about 7 acres, and I'm basically up against a nature preserve in Ottawa County, and the other side of me is consumers power property. So I have a good area to hunt, but basically all the deer, I've got an 11 point and an 8 point, two beautiful deer that I've been watching all year long. They're all nocturnal at this point.
Right.
So, you know, I'm hoping for maybe one of them to slip up one of these days, or maybe a couple doe to come through, because we'd really like to fill those tags, because it is what our family prefers to eat.
Yeah, well, and it's because you know how to cook it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's just it. But so we've covered duck. Do you do rabbit at all?
I love rabbit. Is there any wild meat I don't like?
Well,
you know, woodchuck,
yeah,
rabbit,
we're going to talk about the woodchuck here in a minute. But well, why don't we talk about it now? So everybody that lives in a rural area has woodchucks on their property, and maybe even in the city too.
Gifts from God, my friend. Gifts from God.
Right.
I'll tell you what.
And everybody thinks it's a giant rodent, which I don't know the genus and species, but it probably is.
It is.
Yep. But once again, maybe not your grandparents, but maybe your great-grandparents ate those things. And Brad's, you know, what used to be is now cool, right?
You know, and again,
there's no season on me. There's no limit.
It's like this artisan thing that's been catching on, you know. It's like all these craft beer guys that screwed up my bourbon buying now, because they moved on from craft beer to bourbons now. So
right.
Knock that crap off too, people out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, woodchuck is another food that, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago was a staple of the American, you know, American people's diets. And when cleaned properly and cooked properly, it's like eating a delicious, you know, pork roast. It's absolutely delicious. Now, you got to clean. They've got some scent glands underneath their arms.
Mm-hmm.
Those need to be cleaned out. But, you know, when you parboil it for 15 to 20 minutes, throw it in the crock pot with some onions and some potatoes and carrots. It's absolutely delicious.
I'm hearing a crock pot theme here.
We may
have to dive into that and ask, why is that your preferred mode of cooking?
Next segment.
All right. Yeah, we'll do that. We will do that. So coming up next, fire up your crock pot, because we might have a couple new ideas to throw in the bottom of her. Stick with us. We'll be back.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations. 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. If you just tuned in, Barbecue Bob is under the weather. So Brad Ensing is sitting in with me. And if you have been listening, you can already tell he's a wealth of knowledge about a lot of things that really don't matter to many people, but they do but to us me, Grilling Guys, right?
Yeah. I feel bad. We really haven't talked about a ton of grilling at this point.
Well, and we're going to.
But cooking.
We're cooking and we're eating stuff that probably you don't cook or eat. But we're going to try to make you find a little different way to do things, which is why I want to talk about what we finished with last segment, and that's the crock pot. Okay, we don't do a lot of crock pot. We grill, we score, we do things in cast iron, but everybody's got a crock pot. And why do you use it for now? You talked about it with a squirrel, you talked about a woodchuck. I think I know the answer, but I'm wondering what you think.
Yeah, so when we're talking about a squirrel, a woodchuck, even sometimes with like a venison roast, my preferred way is to crock pot it as well. You're talking about a critter with basically no fat on it.
Right.
I mean, they are so lean. And basically, just like when you're doing a pork butt, when you want to break down the collagens in the meat, the fats in the meat, to have that pull apart tender, anything like that. Now, woodchuck, like I'd mentioned in the last segment, you know, needed to be parboiled because everything I found, which I will tell you, there's not a ton out there about preparing and cooking a woodchuck.
Could be your next $1 million.
I mean, yeah. If that's the next $1 million idea, I don't know what society's coming to. But I've just found most recipes that I've worked with, most recipes that I've researched, crock potting makes a meat like that the most tender. If you were to throw a squirrel on a grill, it's going to be edible. And it's going to be like tearing through jerky as you're trying to eat it.
Right.
And not only that, when I'm crock-potting something and I've got a good broth going along with it, it infuses a lot of that flavor into there as well.
So, I mean, is it as simple as a can of cream of mushroom soup? Or
no, I'm normally using a stock. So I'm normally using a chicken or a beef stock. And I like to use a lot of herbs and spices that would be like, if I'm preparing a food that's from Michigan, I try to tend to use product that, you know, wild sage is one of my favorite ones. I love sage because it's something that is in the area. I talk a lot about using ramps, wild ramps or leeks, which are absolutely delicious.
Is that when you found the ramp, when you were taking a leak? Or did you find the leak while you were hunting ramps?
I try not to take a leak on my ramp.
Oh, so there we go. You, that's not the flavor profile you're looking for?
That's not the flavor profile I'm looking for. But
all right.
There's another awesome wild edible in Michigan that you can go out and really enjoy. It's pretty easy to find.
Right.
They're amazing.
And the internet will tell you exactly what they are. So if you're foraging about the forest, you can find
them. There's a ton of self-help groups out there. There's so many different. And again, I reference Facebook because everybody knows Facebook. There's so many wild edible pages in Michigan to help you. And we're not talking about the edibles that some people might be thinking about.
Right.
We're not talking about gummies.
That are every street corner now.
We're not talking about Big Rapids where I got my cottage where there is like 32 of them. But
Cottagetown.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
But you've got something that, you know, you can ask people that know about those things and you'll normally get some pretty authentic answers as well to help people troubleshoot. Because I think everybody, you know, respects the fact that someone wants to go out and be part of nature, you know, and, you know, learn stuff about nature as well.
Right. Yeah.
Especially with the kids sitting inside on the video games and the adults sitting on side staring at their phones nonstop.
Right.
It's just a godsend to get outside.
Right. And you don't have to own a bunch of property. There's tons of parks and recreation areas and things that you can go to.
Be careful with the parks for what you harvest. A lot of them do not allow you to do that. That's a safety warning.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. See, there's what I don't know. But anyway, at some point, and today, I guess right now would be fine, I want to talk a little bit about Garrett's Appliance because that's where you get your shotgun money from. And you guys have been a sponsor of the show for years and years and years, and the Grilling Guys are very grateful for that. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the equipment that you have there, because Santa Claus is coming to town, and you've got some great stuff at the store that any griller on my list would love to have.
Yeah, you know, and the cool thing with Garrett's Appliance, and thanks for the plug there. You know, I'm cool about talking about wild game all day long too, but
right.
My boss isn't quite as keen on that.
But, he ate some of this, though. I bet he did.
You know, Dale, Kurt, Bruce, they all partake. Actually, Brittany, Dale's daughter, had some squirrel and onions today before I came in here.
There you go.
Without the croissant. But I digress. So talking Garrett's Appliance, talking Christmas ideas. Of course, we have all your normal appliances. However, we do have a great selection of outdoor grills, wood pellets, rubs, a couple cool things. I jotted down a couple ideas for Christmas now.
Great.
So we just started carrying the Meat Church brand of seasonings, which is just a huge one out there. If you're into smoking, into barbecue, that's one of the name brands that everybody knows. We've got a ton of other types of rubs that I've used over the last 10 years. We've probably been doing rubs, sauces, pellets. If you got a wood pellet grill, we carry both Weber brand and Traeger brand pellets under a ton of different flavors. Another one we just got in is the new Meat-er Probe. I don't know if you've seen much or heard much of that.
Meat, what?
Excuse me. It's called the Meat-er Probe, M-E-A-T-E-R.
Okay.
And it's basically a Bluetooth Wi-Fi probe that they have an app you can put on your phone, and basically you plug it right into your meat, and you can walk around and, you know, now on my Traeger grill, for example.
Walk around and know your meat's warm.
Yeah,
there you go. You
got to be keeping your meat warm.
Can't beat that.
But, you know, on my Traeger.
I don't care how much that costs. I want one.
Yeah. It's about $100.
Yeah.
But, again, a great gift for that guy or gal out there that loves to barbecue, and maybe you don't have a probe that's wireless or Wi-Fi enabled.
So is there a video screen on that sits beside the grill, too?
Nope. It's basically just the probe, and you have an app on your phone. That communicates back and forth with your
so the receiver / sender is inside your cooking chamber.
Okay, correct.
And I've not seen one of
it
those.
It is going to be like super accurate. We just got them in last week. I haven't had a ton of time to play with them yet. But having Wi-Fi currently on my Traeger, I love it because I can be out in the woods. I can be sitting out in the blind. I was smoking a pork butt here the other day. And it's like, oh, I'm getting close. I need to turn it down just a little bit because I want it to come down a little more at rest. Or I've had at times where, you know what, we're planning on eating at 6 and I'm just not at the temperature I want to be. And I'll just hop on my phone for mine and just bump up the temperature a little bit. And that's what I can do with
your
my
Traeger. Right?
Yeah, right. Because my Traeger's got Wi-Fi on it. But this, you can monitor the temperature and it's supposed to be super accurate for, actually, it will give you an estimated time for what you set on your phone app. Where you want your meat at, it can tell by how fast it's heating up, and it will give you an estimated time your meat's going to be done as well on this Meat-er Probe.
Wow. So it's not necessarily monitoring the chamber temperature. It's whatever the probe is in. But again, it's kind of almost got a little algorithm in there that says it's
correct.
Been growing at this or
going
heating
up,
at this
rate. So I'm figuring it's this weight. This is the temperature. So this is when your estimated time of being done is going to be.
Wow. How cool.
So something cool. One thing for all those listeners out there, if you're looking for a great Christmas present, you got a couple more bucks to spend on mom, dad, or husband, wife, kids. Anything we have in stock right now, Weber grills, Masterbuilt charcoal grills, and Traeger grills, if I've got it in stock, it's 10% off through the end of the year. So if you got somebody looking for a good deal on a grill, if you've got your eye on a Traeger, if I got it in stock, 10% off.
So let's talk a little diversion on that, but is stock is challenging with all the shipping issues we have and supply chain stuff in America, but do you have a few? I mean,
yeah. So Masterbuilts, we just actually got a shipment in, so I've got a good chunk of Masterbuilts. We've got a good handful of Traegers yet. Webers are petering out at this point. I still have probably 10, 15 units in stock of the Webers. So if it's something you're interested in, give a call over to our showroom. If there's a certain model you're looking for, we can pull it up on the computer. If it's something we, we can always look up if we got something close to whatever you're looking for as well, if that one doesn't happen to be in
stock.
So
are they, you mentioned pellet grills. Mm-hmm. I know you've got a huge selection of gas grills. Mm-hmm. With regard to the smokers, are all of them that you sell electric?
Yeah, so basically all that we're going to do right now, we used to have the Smoke and Tech smoker, and there's been some changes in distribution. So unfortunately, I no longer have that one. It's been probably a couple of years. However, all the Traggers, the Masterbuilts, those are going to be a plug-in to a 110 power. Basically, they're kind of like an oven where they have a wood burning, basically a wood burner on the inside. They burn the pellets. They have a fan that stokes that flame. More or less, and they change the auger speed for the temperature you want.
Right.
But as long as you got a 110 plug-in, you don't need a propane tank. There's no pucks you're feeding in. You do have to clean your grill out every once in a while from the ash that's burning from the wood.
Right.
But if you've never cooked on wood like that, it's a ton of amazing flavor.
Well, and it's the Ron Popeil of grilling.
It is because
if you got the meat probe in there, you set your temperature. Anybody can be a really good grill cook if you can control temperature yep. and you know how warm or cold the item is that you're cooking and where you want it to be when it's done.
Yeah.
And the pellet grills cure both of those issues, yeah. right?
It takes a lot of stupidity out of grilling. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, coming up next, we've been having some issues with our podcast, and we apologize for that. We're going to have our web wizard on, and he's going to join us and teach us how to do this. So stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. If you're just tuning in, Barbecue Bob is out ill today. Sitting in the co-pilot's chair is our friend Brad Ensing. And we were just talking a little bit about all the wonderful holiday gifts that are available for the griller at Garrett's Appliance. And did we miss anything?
No, I think basically we've covered everything.
All right, very good. So on to the next subject. We've had a couple listeners, and we apologize up front for that we're having challenges getting our podcast sent to their device. So like every grilling guy does, you sit down, you have a beer, and then you call the guy who really knows what the hell's going on. And so right now on the live line is a guy you've heard from on the Grilling Guys many times. He's the baritone of beer. He's sat in this co-pilot chair with me many times. It's Chaz Thompson, and Chaz also has a level of expertise when it comes to this whole interweb thing. So, Chaz, take it away, brother.
Hey, good to hear from you guys.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, it's coming that time of the year, you know. We just got out of the woods, and then we're looking forward to going out and sitting on a bucket in the ice.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, neither of those places, are you always guaranteed to have internet? Are you always guaranteed to have access to listen to those Grilling Guys shows that you missed?
Yeah, hopefully I'm not. I mean, if I'm hunting in the right spot, I'm not worried about my cell phone.
But us that hunt a bit north, we have to do a little preparation to download some shows ahead of time. And there's a number of ways to do that, but we've written a little help file for you on the Grilling Guys website. So if you go to thegrillingguys.com, and you look for the little podcast icon. If you're on your computer, it's going to be on the right-hand side. If you're on your phone, you're just going to scroll down a bit, and you'll find a little set of headphones there, yellow headphones. And you click on those, and it'll take you to a page that kind of explains and steps you through it. Now, one of the
not in it, but through it, right?
If you have a Google or a Android phone or an Apple phone, there are two links there that will just use the native applications on your phone to let you subscribe to the Grillin' Guys radio show.
Oh, easy enough.
Yeah, you just click on them. So if you're Apple, click on the Apple one. If you're Android, click on the Google Podcast. And that'll put you in there. Now, if you want to do a little more with it, I've put three different applications out there that are totally free applications, and we've checked them out, no malware.
All right.
That allow you to add the Grill and Guys feed in and download a number of episodes.
Oh, so you want me in multiple forms, right? Is that it?
10 episodes, ready to go.
Yeah,
they're not going to be able to see them, right? I mean, that's a big thing. It's just going to be a sound, an MP3 file.
Right, yeah, right. Yep. No video.
Nobody wants to see Bob's misshapen head.
No, not ever.
No studio cam yet.
Yeah, right.
Grilling Guys aren't quite that famous.
Right. Yeah, nor does anybody care. So that's easy. That's pretty easy.
It's very easy. The only real trick, and our friend Bob had a little issue with it, was that you have to really read and follow the directions.
Well, he was right out at the reading, I'm pretty
sure. Exactly. Yeah.
And with some of these applications, you have to take a couple of steps.
Right.
And you have to add in the feed. And that's by putting in the address of the feed. And we've put that right in there. It's thegrillingguys.com/feed/podcast. And usually in the application, there's a little plus sign. It says, hey, give me the feed.
Right.
You know, add a feed by an, maybe they might call it an RSS feed. And you just type that address in there, and that's on that web page right there on thegrillingguys.com. So you'll be able to do that, and you can tell it how many episodes you want to download. Do you want 10? Do you want 20? How much Bob and Jop do you want?
Right. One, please.
Now, the really cool part about it is, all of the shows since 2010 are there.
Oh, wow. I'd like to go back and hear some of those early ones. I bet it was just amazingly bad radio.
Well, amazingly entertaining, especially some of the times when I brought a case of beer.
Right, yeah. You know, the tongue used to get a little thicker than it does these days because we used to maybe sample a little too many things other than squirrel croissants.
Well, you know, I'm feeling kind of bad now. I feel like I'm one up, and because last time I brought in a bunch of fine bourbons,
right,
and I could have got away with a six pack of beer.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. What the crap? So look where we've come. It was a bunch of fine bourbons. We're down to squirrel croissants, man.
You are welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I might be able to pull something off my tire later. We'll fry that up.
Chaz, tell me about your deer hunting, brother.
Well, I had a really successful hunt.
I thought you did.
Day,
yep.
8-pointer.
Nice.
At about 4 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And it was a very, very active day. I know a lot of my friends that were on the same property didn't see a lot of deer, but they were marching by me, and all of a sudden a beautiful 8-point came by.
Well, the good news is you were awake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
It's because he was playing on his
then
phone.
On the second day of the season, I had a beautiful 9-point come out and strike a Michigan out of doors pose right in front of me.
Oh.
In the middle of my lunch.
Oh. So did you wait? Did the deer wait till you laid your sandwich down?
Yes. He stood there just like on the cover of a magazine until I laid the sandwich down, put my earplugs in,
earplugs,
pulled up the gun, and shot him.
Chaz, you're freaking killing me right now. Yeah. It's been the worst deer hunting here for me ever. I see an 8-point and 11-point basically every other day on my trail cam at night. It's all I see nowadays. It's killing
me. Well, I passed on a 3rd 8
because
I was waiting for a doe.
Oh, so Chaz we won't even talk about that. I thought 2 was all you could get, or maybe you got landowner permits.
Landowner permits.
Yeah.
No, in Michigan this year you can buy additional.
I think as many doe permits as you want.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's
much.
Right. Yeah, pardon me. Yep. So
I got my $2, and then we were going on the $20 doe tag.
Oh yeah, yep. Was that a bet? Who could shoot the first one for $20, or is that what the doe tag cost?
That's what the doe tag cost.
All right. So tell me you got $2. You've got them cleaned up. What's been on the grill so far?
Well, I just picked up the meat yesterday.
Okay.
And to start it right off, you know, we had to go with the tenderloins.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, how'd
and
you do
it? I had little medallions, a little bit of garlic and sage rub.
The sage
quick
is
on the
coming.
Grill.
Yep.
Don't mess them up.
Right. How long did you cook them for?
Let's see, about 3 sips of beer aside.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Nothing over
wrap
medium
them in
rare,
some
baby.
Foil, you set them off to the side, you pull out your taters, you slab them up some nice yukons and rub them with oil and some seasoning, and then grill them. put those on top of the foil that's in the pan laying off to the side. And by that time, that meat is rested. It's perfect. It's ready. And it tastes like candy.
Mmm, man. Yep. You didn't invite anybody over for that, did you? You just kind of enjoyed that yourself?
That one was just me.
Yeah. Figured as much. Yep. Them tenderloins, they aren't that big. A guy can eat one or two of those.
But I did acquire through a few of my buddies and everything, 5 hearts.
Oh.
So I'm working up my sandwich spread for a party that's coming up where I cook up the hearts, grind them with some pickle, put some dressing in with them, and that makes the best sandwich spread in the world.
So crazy question here, Chaz. Brad here, by the way. Have you done deer nuts? I see a lot of people doing those, basically marinating them in butter, but don't know if that's something you've tried yet either.
No, I don't care to get the fuzz off them. Those usually
deers,
get flung.
Deers don't shave. All right. How about livers? Have you been doing the liver at all?
I don't do the liver because I've never been good at cleaning the livers.
Okay. Yeah.
I've made a mess out of too many, and I'm like, okay, we got a big enough mess. The 1 gallon bag for the heart when I'm cleaning it out in the field, flip that in your pocket, and then now the mission of get the deer into the side-by-side.
And, you know, most people that haven't had deer heart, it is a spectacular piece of meat as well. Right. And I think it's one of those overlooked pieces of meat.
Yeah, it is. But practice with your buddies before you bring that out to your unknowns, because heart is tough. Not physically tough, but it's tough to make taste good. And that's why you put pickle and other stuff in it.
Just like most venison, I remember Tim Sobey's told us 100 times, get it clean.
Right. Yep. That's a big deal. So, Chaz, we're out of time, brother, but thanks for the tips, and glad you had a successful hunting season, and we will talk to you soon, man.
Yeah, we'll see you on the ice soon.
All right. Thanks, man. See ya.
Bye.
Well, hey, we appreciate you tuning in to the Grilling Guys each and every week. We've had a lot of fun today. Man, this thing went quick, Brad. And tell us where Garrett's Appliance is real quick.
Yep, so 2 locations, right on 28th and Byron Center Avenue in southwest Grand Rapids in Wyoming. And then we have a Kentwood showroom as well, right off 29th in East Paris. Make sure you check out our website. We have a couple different times depending on the address. So. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, hey, if you're still out deer hunting, get in and out of that tree safely. And you know what? Don't rub Brad's nose in it if you get one, too. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you next week.
Guys, have a great week.